Rafe?
Yes, Ewan?
Can you tell all the listeners just to, like, turn the volume down just a little bit?
Right, everybody turn the volume down, unless you've installed the audio update on your Nokia Lumia 920, which gives you audio leveling.
It's Christmas!
I think Ewan's quite excited. What was it again, Ewan?
I've got to keep my throat going for all this, otherwise you'll have to talk for an hour. So
No change there, then.
It's Doctor Who Day soon.
It's Doctor Who Day. That's Christmas Eve, isn't it?
No, Christmas Day.
Oh, it's Christmas Day, yeah. And everyone else will be watching the Downton Abbey special or...
No, they won't. Nobody will be watching the Downton Abbey special on Christmas Day. Do you know why?
Because it's on Boxing Day?
Because they're all watching Doctor Who.
They're all watching Doctor Who, right.
Yeah. None of this.
And if they're not watching Doctor Who, they're watching Gone with the Wind or something else.
Or they'll be listening to the All About Windows Phone 50th Anniversary Insight podcast.
If you're doing that on Christmas Day, can we salute you? Because we're certainly not going to be thinking about Windows Phone on Christmas Day. Well, probably not anyway.
We will be thinking about it because we'll be thinking, how do I get this picture up to Facebook?
Let's take a picture of the turkey or the Christmas tree.
Or why have I got one of these and not the iPhone 5 that I asked for, Santa?
Yeah, well, there's a problem with that, isn't there? I mean, A, he's not called Santa, he's called Father Christmas. And B, he comes from Finland, and so he is a little biased when it comes...
He comes from Turkey.
Well, it depends who you ask, doesn't it? St. Nicholas, Father Christmas. But I went to northern Finland, to Rovaniemi, and I met Father Christmas there when I was, well, I don't know, about 5 years old. And it was pretty convincing, I can tell you, because he lived north of the north. The Arctic Circle.
You were about to say he lived north of the North Pole, weren't you?
I was. But most importantly of all, he had a real beard. And let me tell you, when you're 5 years old, that's about as convincing as it gets. So inevitably, living in Finland, he does tend to be a bit biased when he's putting phones into your Christmas stocking.
There we go. I suppose we should talk about phones now.
A bit.
And Christmas is kind of an important time because it's when, even though everyone's on 2-year contracts, it still surprised me that phones on contract to bought us Christmas gifts. It's like, happy Christmas, I spent £15 on this phone and now you can spend £2,000 over the next 2 years.
it's true. And of course, there's a big pay-as-you-go market, which is actually relevant, really, this time around for Windows Phone. I would say almost for the first time, because we've got things like the Nokia Lumia 610 and also the Lumia 800 retailing at sort of £75 and the £120 market. This is in the UK market, but it's the same elsewhere in Europe, respectively. And actually, I think they make pretty good pay-as-you-go phones, especially now in the UK. You actually get deals where you can put a £10 top-up on your phone and you get maybe a gig of data. Now, it varies from network to network, but also you can use them just on Wi-Fi, of course. So there's a whole interesting debate there. But as you say, people also get them on contract. And I was talking to a friend of mine who works in a phone shop, and he said actually this period leading up to Christmas is one of the busiest times of the year. He said partly that's because all the manufacturers time their releases to have new flagships, but partly also, of course, people are buying them as gifts. And he said, actually, one of the biggest categories, people buying themselves a present, which I thought was quite amusing. But
at least that way you know that you're going to have the ongoing bill to go through.
Well, quite. But it's quite right about flagships. I mean, we've been talking about the Lumia, the 8X, and other Windows phone devices. Of course, there's stuff on, you know, the iPhone 5 and some of the Samsung devices, and Sony Ericsson's just come out with new devices as well. That, you know, come out in the September, October, November timeframe. And the reason they come out then is they are really looking to sell this Christmas market. But there is, I think, one more Windows phone we can mention, isn't there, Ewan?
Yeah, there is. But we're just going to back up, strike that reverse one.
Oh, okay. Right, okay.
Sony Ericsson. It's just Sony.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. It's Sony now. Yes, Ericsson just make the stuff that makes the networks work now. Yeah. And actually, it's almost more important. But don't let me say that too loudly.
I also love the fact that even though it's all still Sony handsets, they also have the Sony Ericsson logo on the battery cover.
Yes, I've noticed that. And actually, the truth is there's still obviously a lot of Ericsson technology in there, and it's, you know, the brand name that's different. I'm surprised we haven't seen Sony do a little bit more. I think actually that's something to watch out for in 2013. I mean, they said they're not...
I've got to hit an Android for it, but the Xperia T is the big James Bond phone. I still don't think it's as nice as the Xperia S that they got out of MWC.
I agree with you. I mean, what I do like about Sony is, you know, they've actually had a consistency in their design language over many, many years. I think sometimes the design isn't brilliant, but I like the consistency, and I think sometimes they're, you know, does component material choices aren't what I'd choose to do. I mean, the strip that runs along the bottom of some of the Xperia handsets, it's a neat idea for the first week, and then it sort of is less inspired. But they do some great camera phone devices, of course. They always have done, and there's a, I think we'll see some more activity there in short order. I mean, they have said they're not going to do Windows Phone devices for the time being, but I suspect, like all the manufacturers, they'll be keeping an eye on it at least.
The other interesting thing that I find with Sony, and this is why obviously we're talking about Android handsets and the Windows Phone in 2050 podcast.
We're bad.
But what it does is, lots of people said, oh, what Nokia should have done is went with Android 2 years ago, when instead they went with Windows Phone. And this is why I like to keep an eye on what Sony's doing, because Sony could have made the same decision as well. They could have went with Windows Phone 2 years ago, but they didn't. They went with Android. And yes, Sony is slightly smaller than Nokia, whatever. But at the same time, you know, they're not making an impact in sales. They're doing very good design, but they're not even overhauling HTC in the Android market. And that's, you know, if you want to think, how well would Nokia have done? Look at Sony and maybe add 10, 15% or so for what I think Nokia would have done in the Android market. And the honest answer is not much.
Yeah, and you're right. I think you could also look at HTC. And obviously, there's a Windows Phone dimension to this as well. But HTC have been really struggling in financial terms. I mean, it looks like they're going to be... It's not as badly off as Nokia yet, but I wouldn't be at all surprised to see them, you know, start making a loss in the next few quarters. And the Windows Phone devices are kind of a bright spot in terms of their critical response. But again, we don't yet know how well they're selling. Their problem there is they're facing off against Nokia. We'll maybe come back to this, because we're going to talk about favourite handsets. But you look at HTC in the Android world, you look at Sony, then you look at the competition coming in from the Chinese manufacturers, the likes of ZTE, Huawei, and a whole bunch of others, and more coming in, as well as in the Indian domestic market as well. You start to understand the argument being made by Stephen Elop and the rest of the Nokia team that they were only able to really significantly differentiate on Windows Phone. And I've always agreed with that, but I said at the same time, it would have been better in the short term to go Android, because they would have started selling more immediately. But in the long term, it was a losing strategy. So in a sense, choosing Windows Phone was, not making the easiest decision, but it was making the right decision. You know, there's still enormous risk attached to all of that, and we'll see that. But you look at the way the media covers it, and Nokia, you know, is covered as a distinct entity, whereas sometimes it feels like all the other Android devices outside of Samsung kind of fade into one another. Now, you can overplay that, of course, but I do think it's an interesting one, and it seems to me, at least, there's much less criticism now of Nokia choosing Windows Phone than there was when it first happened. There's still, to be fair, plenty of vocal critics out there, people saying, I'd like the Nokia hardware on Android. That's because Nokia designed nice hardware. But I think most people can see the sort of that visual identity, the distinctness that it has. And obviously that plays in quite a number of places in their strategy, not just on the hardware, on the software and their marketing, all of that. So it's an interesting one to think about as we go into the new year.
Indeed, yes. Let's do it the other way. Rather than have Nokia hardware running Android, let's have Android hardware running Windows Phone, or as the marketeers would like us to call it, the Samsung Active S. It's finally reaching the public.
It is. It's gone in sale in the UK. You can get it from Expansys.
And in Austria. Don't forget Austria.
And Austria. And also it's available in Sweden from both operators and retail channels. We had someone tip us on that. Thank you very much. We're expecting to see it on various networks in the kind of the new year. We think Phones for You are going to do a pretty big push on it, for example.
Which makes sense, because they had the Omni Air and did a big push on that over the summer as well with Samsung.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Phones for You in the UK, this is a kind of becoming known almost as the Windows Phone, you know, shop, in a sense. You go in there and it's certainly getting more exposure than in some of the network stores, or at least I would say it's proportionally more. And the Carphone Warehouse, you know, a similar thing. You get these kind of booths with, you know, Windows Phone or Nokia and then HTC, etc., etc. And, certainly the evidence I've seen suggests that the retailers are trying to push these. It's early to judge because we haven't got any sales numbers. But the Active S is kind of an interesting one because, as you said, it almost feels like an afterthought by Samsung in a way. But we've both seen this handset, albeit just for a short trial period. I was quite impressed by it in the sense that, you know, it's got the features in terms of the specification, and it's got expandable memory, nice big battery. It feels very light. But I thought the design was just a bit derivative and boring on Samsung. Now, some people, you know, like the Samsung design, and don't get me wrong, the build quality is pretty decent, so it doesn't weigh very much. But it doesn't seem to stand out in the same way as the 8X and the 920. And I think that's been reflected in some of the way, you know, the Windows Phone community has been talking about it as well, Ewan.
Yeah, and let's be wrong, if you're just looking at it as a standalone device, the 8FS does look wonderful, but everybody's just going to go, oh, all you've done is taken a Galaxy and shoved Windows Phone in it. Now, architecture-wise, you can get close to that nowadays, but there's still a lot of extra stuff, drivers and hardware that's going on, and even though Microsoft have kept it right down, it's not a trivial task just to switch over an operating system inside a hardware. The thing that got me when we got a hold of it was, yeah, you know, it's a big touch screen, and the screen looks wonderful. The camera looks to be reasonably good from the one or two test shots that we managed to take of it. But it just didn't feel exciting. It really did feel that Samsung were doing, we better do a Windows Phone 8 device just in case it takes off, rather than we're doing a Windows Phone 8 device because we're proud of it. You know, HTC, for all the faults that I have with the 8X, they were proud of it.
And you can kind of understand what HTC were doing with the design. Some of the decisions, you know, we didn't like. I mean, I think it's fair to say both Ewan and I felt that it was too design first and not enough kind of function first. But appreciate we're not, you know, the average user, and other people take a different view. Because, you know, I would say HTC has got the nicest looking of the Windows Phone devices, but it's not always as practical as you would want it to be. And you know, the Nokia Lumia series is, you know, probably scores better in that department, and even maybe this 8FS as well. It's a tricky one. I almost feel this 8FS is it's like another Windows Phone device. There's that X factor. It is kind of your biggest battery, biggest screen, and all of that. There is some, you know, really things to really like about it, but sometimes it just doesn't quite catch the imagination. And it's a bit like you go into a phone shop and there's quite literally tens of different Android devices, and honestly, you know, a couple of them stick out. Maybe, you know, the One X or the One S, and some of the Samsung devices, maybe one of the Sony Ericsson ones, and you know, it feels like a bit of a show, a space filler. I think we're probably being hideously unfair to it, and I'm actually quite looking forward to getting hold of one and using it as a device for a month or so, and seeing how we get on with it. But it those intangible factors can be important.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Omnia M, you know, not the greatest of spec devices, not the greatest of extra software put in, but I actually kind of liked the feel of it. You know, I was picking it up and reviewing it, I was going, this is quite a nice phone. It's a grower. But at the same time, it's not the sort of phone that I would see many fans going to the wall for. You know, it's not the sort of phone where you would see, I love my omniam.tumblr.com. And I don't think you'd see that with the 8FS either. I think you would see that with the, you know, places my 8X has visited, or the Lumia 920 and me.newmyspace.com. Yeah. But I can't see anybody waving a flag for a Samsung Windows Phone device.
Yeah, I mean, is it that sort of emotional factor we sometimes talk about, that connection you have with a handset? I mean, we may be a little biased against Samsung because elsewhere the brand is, you know, has a lot more credibility. I think sometimes in the UK it doesn't have the most positive association. Again, that depends what segment of the market you're in. It's interesting. I can't quite put a finger on it. If anyone's got some feedback on this, would love to hear from you.
DJS, and you can do that at the usual places, rafe@allaboutwindowsphone.com, or that Scottish one I can't understand who's yet to make a reference to Airplane today, @allaboutwindowsphone.com. That has been set up, Rafe, yes?
Yes, it has.
Okay, right then. Right, let's move on. I have a note here saying that I was meant to do a Christmas carol in this show.
I think actually the note says don't sing a Christmas carol because we want people to carry on listening after the 50th episode. Because if we start singing, I think we might traumatise the listeners. So maybe we could skip on to the next item. Feel free to insert any Christmas joke that you'd like or some obscure reference that I won't even ask you about.
I've got a Christmas joke.
Oh, go on then.
People are going to watch Downton Abbey.
Ho, 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 ho.
Exactly. Just five holes. Right then, staying with the fives, the Lumia 505. Okay, Rafe, sum this up in 30 seconds.
It's like the 510, but an operator variant for Mexico. And quite frankly, it's difficult to see why it exists.
Okay, right. Next news article. The Nokia Lumia 920 and 820 are starting to pick up some updates in the US. PR 1.1 is a sort of name, but it's kind of like a sort of underground inside baseball name. It's basically adding in the bits of Windows Phone 8 that need to be added in immediately, right here, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's the first update, which we actually made reference to in the last podcast for the HTC 8X. It's kind of platform update, and the number of this is 10211. Don't really worry about the details, but it's just a few bits and pieces. In the platform update, you get messaging improvements. So that's things like being able to have drafts when you're using SMS or MMS. So it will automatically save unsent text messages, essentially. And you can also edit messages that you receive before you forward them on to someone else. There's also text replies to incoming calls. That's quite a handy feature, actually. If you've got someone calling whose number is known to your eye, it's in the people hub and it's marked as mobile, you get an extra button rather than just hang up and answer. You'll get a reply with text, which will hang up the call, send it to voicemail, but then give you a list of predefined text messages to send, you know, like, I'm sorry, I'm busy at the moment, I'll call you back, or whatever it happens to be. And you can edit those messages as well. There's also some improvements to Internet Explorer, Wi-Fi connectivity. I think the most important one really is allowing Wi-Fi to remain on when it's under the lock screen, so it won't disconnect Wi-Fi when you lock the device. Some people have problems with that because they'll come back to the device, they'll start doing something and say, I haven't got a connection. And that could, you know, aside from being annoying, the other way it could be irritating is we'll connect to 3G and start using that instead of Wi-Fi. I didn't have that second bit of the problem, but very occasionally I was doing things fast enough to notice that my Wi-Fi hadn't reconnected. Now, my Wi-Fi was always reconnecting in a couple of seconds, so it wasn't an issue, but I know for some people it was more like 6 or 7 seconds, so happened more frequently. There are some also fixes for some bugs. Some people had problems with the phone rebooting or even getting bricked totally when you try and reset it. I understand the update has some fixes for that. Obviously, we haven't been able to test those out ourselves. So that's the kind of the platform side of it. But then Nokia's also done some updates themselves. Some of that's in the kind of relatively low level stuff like Bluetooth, increased compatibility with in-car systems, for example, and there's a whole bunch of those, most of which you won't know about unless you've been having a problem and it suddenly fixes itself. But more significant is tweaks to the camera software, and we haven't been able to test this ourselves because it's only available in the US and Canada. I can come back to that in a minute. But it appears to kind of have slightly less aggressive noise reduction, and you know, you get sharper images, so you lose some of the soft focus effect that some people have had with the 920's camera. And this has happened in bright light conditions, so here in the UK we haven't noticed much of that recently because it's been grey and overcast. But we linked to a story on Engadget which did some sort of before and after, and you can see that it's actually really dependent on your view of how photos should be kind of processed on a smartphone. I mean, I'm always in favour of kind of keeping the processing as low as possible because you can actually do things afterwards in an image editor, but of course most people will use the photos straight away. I think based on the evidence we've seen, Nokia have done a good job improving it, and you know, you'll get rid of the soft focusing that some people have experienced in bright light. As I say, it does depend on the conditions and obviously what you're taking photographs of. So on the whole, I think people are going to be pretty pleased to see this PR 1.1 update. But as I said, there is a caveat. It is only available in North America at the moment, Ewan.
Yeah, now I'm intrigued about that one because I thought the whole idea was when there was platform changes as opposed to software changes, that these would come from Microsoft, they wouldn't go through the operators, and they would just go straight out to the handset. Is there a reason why it's just been restricted to America on this one, Rafe?
Well, even with these updates, they still have to go through the manufacturers and they still have to go through operator approval. What Microsoft was saying really is that they were changing to the over-the-air update model, and so rather than having to connect to a PC, you're getting them more directly, and theoretically they can also bypass that, but most of the time they'll choose not to, for a very good reason that, you know, operators don't like that happening. I mean, the reason operators are so obsessed about certifying all of this is basically a lot of the time there are actually fixes specific to an operator to do with the phone stuff, you know, tuning it for their network. And so they want to make sure that remains in place. But also, they have to take into account support calls and things like that. So when someone calls up and says such and such a function isn't working, they need to be able to address it. Now, from the outside looking in, you get pretty sceptical about this sort of thing. But actually, it does apply to all the handsets. you can sit here and go, what about the iPhone? Well, actually, the iPhone, it does apply to that as well, and you'll sometimes see this. The difference is that Apple tends to have all the operator sign-off ready to go when it announces an update, at least for its key markets. Some of the other markets will actually follow on behind. And it depends on your relationship with the operator as well. Now, all of that is a slight, you know, caveat and a catch, and I sort of feel that the situation should be better. And in this instance, you know, Nokia themselves came out and said that, you know, the reality is high quality software updates require a level of operator specific customization. If you want to do it right, it takes time. Yes, it does strike me as slightly weasel words, but the other thing to think about here is not everyone obsesses about getting the software updates as soon as possible, and they have said that it's going to be rolling out to the rest of the world and sort of February 2013. It's actually not that far away. Could it be better? Yes. Are we going to ask a bit more about this, try and get some more details on why this sort of thing happens? Absolutely, yes, we will. But we can tell you what the situation is and sort of say that it's disappointing that it hasn't been better organized. But I suspect in this case it's kind of exacerbated by the Christmas break, you know, getting things ready and getting them all signed off. You can get them onto the server, get it all signed off by Microsoft, and they've just managed to squeak, you know, this American one in. I mean, it was the, I think it was December the 20th this all started rolling out, or just a day or so before. And then it's going to take until the new year. That has a delay. But it's not an ideal situation, is it? I mean, ideally, you'd have it certainly on unbranded devices, but even on the kind of the big operator devices in Europe as well, getting them all at the same time. Because otherwise, you know, you kind of get this rollout period where you end up with sort of frustrated power users.
Can I just ask, Rafe, would you like me now to be really nice about this?
Or, no, go ahead and be nasty, because I'm sure the listeners will be much happier if you rant about it. Me having sort of talked weasel words and tried to, you know, explain why it happens without really... I mean, I have, you know, chatted to Nokia about this, and so they gave the answer about, you know, it takes time and all of that. And we've heard that all before with operator certification. But yeah, I have to admit, even I'm rather disappointed and frustrated.
You want me to let rip then, yeah?
Go on, yeah.
Hold on. Let me stand up then. Just get some air into the lungs then. I'm building this up now. This is probably going to be an absolutely rubbish rant. Okay, here we go. These handsets, this software has been in the hands of all the manufacturers and all the networks for since at least May or June last year that we know of this year for sure. From the summer of 2012, they've had a huge amount of time to test this. They've got massive testing, and the thing is, we've got partial inclusions anyway. You've already got hooks inside the operating system where you can update just a little bit. People who go to the Windows Store now, who've got say one of the Nokia devices, they'll find that you can just update just one section of the settings. These can go in. These don't need to be tested. These don't need to be rolled out. You know, it's just basically the leveling on the handset. That's nothing to do with the operators. It's nothing to do with the call functions. The point is, these are isolated. Good programming isolates call features, data features, outside transmission stuff with the stuff that just lets you listen to Moonchild by Iron Maiden without absolutely destroying your ears when you've listened to it right after listening to Bing Crosby and David Bowie doing the whole, "Oh, you're going to die in 3 days" because you sung Silent Night with him on that Christmas TV special. The point is, it's very easy to do modular changes, and we should be having those modular changes. And let's not have this whole geographical barrier stuff. Look, we are geeks. We know that it doesn't actually make a huge hill of beans whether you or I sit down and watch Casablanca or we pirate off the internet. If we want something, we'll get it. That's what the internet's designed for. It's designed to route around obstruction. And what they're doing with these software changes is just the sort of stuff you wanted, Rafe.
Yeah, but maybe right. You could breathe a little bit.
What they wanted with these software changes is they put them into one region, not put them in anywhere else. You know what? The internet's going to find a way around that. We've got Navi for them. We can get all of that stuff. We can see that it works. We've got Steve Litchfield sitting there going, and you know what Steve's most upset about? He's most upset about the other people using the Nokia Lumia 920 are going to have soft focused images for another 2 months. Steve doesn't care about his camera. He's thinking about everybody else. He wants to see lovely, hard, sharp, crisp images, not something that looks like, you know, Bill Shatner in Star Trek The Motion Picture, where they've got to put Vaseline over the lens because they're trying to all to pretend to be 1335 so they can see it with a great big space alien cloud. And why are you putting that on at Christmas anyway when all we want to do is watch The Wrath of Khan twice? It's just, you know, we're going to root around this.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to stop you there. It's no way as bad as Star Trek The Motion Picture. I'm sorry.
What, the Lumia 920 soft lens fuzzing?
No, it's not. You're that right. Bad. No,
okay. How about Star Trek V: The Final Frontier then? Is it as bad as that?
No, I mean,
So hold on. Let's
be fair here.
Which is better? Yeah, which is better, Star Trek V or Star Trek the Motion Picture?
Ooh.
See, you have no idea what the right cultural reference is here. So you got a 50-50 shot, Rafe. I'm giving you a chance in this show.
Well, no, I'm thinking about the odd and even rule, which actually doesn't apply anymore anyway.
Because they're both odd.
Yes, well, there is that as well. But is five the last one?
Nope.
Well, I would say The Search for Spock, but it's not that either.
Oh, that's number three.
Number four.
Which is better, The Final Frontier or The Motion Picture?
The Final Frontier. Well, that's the one with Cyborg in it, which is a great name, but the slightly dodgy galactic barrier storyline that, you know, where it's something where they went to found
on,
God.
Come on, make a decision. Make a decision.
Well, neither. They're both bad anyway.
Nope.
I prefer The Next Generation. Anyway, I agree with you. It's not good, but I would point out the 920 has optical image stabilization, so when the bridge is crashing around, if you took it with a 920, it'd look fantastic.
I've got a pogo stick. That's for optical stabilization right there if you want it.
Right. Well, now you've had a little rant about the 920. Yeah. Should we have some good news about the 920, which I literally just got in my email inbox 4 minutes ago?
Okay, is it that Steve finally has one and he's satisfied with it?
No, he's got one, but he's not satisfied.
Sorry, that would be a Christmas miracle, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. But this
is all about Nick leaving a little walking cane in the shop just off after he's been at Macy's. Yeah.
So this is a news release from Nokia announcing that from January 2013, the flagship Nokia Lumia 920 will be available from Vodafone Car Phone Warehouse 3 UK and will also be distributed to independent retailers from Micro P. So
right. I can do a translation on that.
Yes, go on then.
Everything Everywhere didn't sell enough to keep the exclusive deal going.
That's right, exactly.
Hey, hey. Ding, 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 ding. Do I get a kick? Can I pull a cracker? Can I pull a cracker?
Hey! Ewan, as you can tell, has probably already been at the Christmas sherry, which is quite worrying, given that we're recording this on the 21st.
We don't do sherry up here.
But whatever it is you drink, Iron Brew, some alcoholic form of it?
No, Iron Brew's drunk neat.
Right.
We don't mix drinks up here.
The Christmas whiskey, then.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Everything right. Everywhere didn't sell enough. We all told you, Nokia, that it was a bad idea going in the brand new network, who were going to have implementation rollout problems anyway, and hitching the great big device. Because really, this actually diminishes Christmas sales of the 920. If the 920 has a general availability and people were seeing it all the time, and good old James Corden advertising it, and Holly Willoughby and everything, people, you know, we'd be happy to stay on a network that they trusted, but take a risk on the device. Asking people to take a risk on the device and take a risk on a new network, I think, was asking too much of the UK public.
Yeah, no, actually, this leads into a reader question that we've had, doesn't it, Ewan?
It does, yes. And that question is it the first, the second, or the third one, Riff? Because they could all kind of work.
Well, it's the third one. This is about stock levels of the Lumia 920.
Exactly, yes. Are there any supply issues on the Nokia Lumia 920? Asked by Camilo over email on that one. Rafe, are there any stock issues on the Lumia 920?
Yes, is the simple answer that, and no, hey, is the more complicated answer. But yes, in the sense that if you go into the shops, it's actually been quite hard to find a 920, and this applies to various markets. I think we've all seen kind of stock out notices online in the UK, for example. Expanses and Clovetech went through their SIM-free supply like Rudolph through a packet of carrots or something like that. This has basically been limited availability of the 920, and it's applied across, to say, all markets. You know, going into phone shops here in the UK, and I understand it applies elsewhere, you know, they're selling them basically as fast as they get them in. Now, obviously, there's going to be some exceptions to this, but it appears that the ramp-up for the 920... or the demand has kind of exceeded the supply. Nokia or Stephen Elop, in various interviews with kind of CNET and Wiley, that's the sort of Finnish national broadcaster, has sort of said it's kind of a deliberate strategy, and it partly, I think, goes back to last time when they probably produced too many Lumia 800 and 710 and so had overstock issues sort of leading on into the middle part of the year. So maybe they'd be more cautious this time around, but it's also a reflection of the fact that the 920 has been critically pretty well received and seems to have strong demand amongst consumers. It'll be really interesting to get the numbers when the Q1 results come out. So in a sense, yes, there have been stock issues, but it applies to pretty much every product, because getting the prediction right for actually exactly how many you're going to sell is very difficult. And during the initial period, it's almost inevitable that you won't have enough. The nature of demand is it spikes during the launch period, and you then have to smooth out production over a longer period of time. So I wouldn't say this is a problem as such. It's just more acute than it usually is, because I think demand has been stronger, and that's probably a healthy thing. I think it's also, as I say, because Nokia has been a little more cautious this time round about how many devices it made and then thought it could ship. And actually, I think this is one of the reasons why we've had these exclusive arrangements. Yes, they in theory lead to more sales, but actually, as much as anything, and I think this is particularly true of the UK market, Nokia wanted to kind of establish a good sales procedure. And talking to some of the UK based salespeople and some of the marketing people, they were sort of talking about how it's about creating the whole experience that is positive, so that when you buy the device, you get told about the features, you get talked through it, and then that can be whether it's in a high street shop, whether it's online, or indeed whether it's over the phone.
I'm very gingerly putting my hand in the air here.
Yes.
And I believe that what I'm thinking is an anagram of Sloblox.
Yes, yes, I'm sure you are thinking that.
It is, because you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the marketing department has invested a huge amount of money to create a knowledge vacuum.
Yes.
They've spent money to stop people getting the phone. They've spent money training people who don't have stock of the phone to tell you about the phone that you've picked up. They've spent money advertising something that doesn't exist, knowing that it doesn't exist. They've created, essentially, a Finnish black hole.
Yes, I actually think you can take that viewpoint. At the same time, I do have some sympathy for the idea that, buying a phone is generally a pretty horrible experience when you go into high street. And I'm not talking people who already know what they want. Talking the average punter walking into a phone shop and getting that right, so that you create a positive impression, and then that gets passed on to their friends, because that's the only way that Nokia is going to generate sustainable long-term sales growth. And so there is a lot of sense around that, and certainly some of the numbers, and Nokia is very fond of talking about the net promoter score, which is basically a measure of how likely someone is to recommend it to their friends. But when you're talking about trying to break into a market, which is effectively what they're doing, the incumbents being iOS and Android, they kind of need to give people a reason or a more positive feel. And so creating this kind of this sales pattern that they can then expand elsewhere and follow elsewhere, I think does make a lot of sense. But I agree, it's easy to be cynical about this. And I actually think there's two reasons. This exclusivity was partly because there was going to be limited supply of the handsets and they wouldn't have been able to keep everybody happy. And by sort of doing exclusive partnership, they probably got EE to cough up some money for the marketing, but also were able to work quite closely with them in training and generating that positive retail experience, and then that leads on to a happier customer. That's putting it one way, and that's certainly the way that Nokia have explained it to me when I've asked about this exclusive deal.
So but, let's just be clear here, right?
It is clear. You're right, Ian. You can be cynical as well, but let people decide themselves. Those are kind of the two viewpoints.
I was just going to draw attention to the fact that your net promoter score is probably slightly higher than mine.
Yes. Yes, that's probably... That's certainly fair.
This isn't clout or anything,
But the point is, because we've had a lot of emails, a lot of discussion about this exclusive thing, and it's one of the things people always ask me about when I see them in person. It's not as simple as it's good, it's bad. There are kind of, as with anything, it's kind of shades of grey. I actually think, on balance, I still wouldn't have done it, but I can understand that there's very good thinking behind it. And it's not necessarily my area of expertise, and so.
And of course, the less overstock that Nokia have, the more money they can keep on their balance sheet, as opposed to tying it up in a warehouse. Which, let's be honest, that's kind of important for Nokia just now to manage that money.
Of course, I mean, with all of that, I mean, the ideal situation when you're selling anything is just in time delivery of any stock, so it arrives and then goes out the door the same day. Now, the mobile industry is already pretty efficient in that respect. I do think Nokia was probably more cautious this time around. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind is Nokia is actually manufacturing all of these devices themselves. Last time round, it was actually relying on kind of some of the other plants. And so I suspect the profit margins on these kind of second generation of devices are much better than they were last time round.
Shall we? Now, we've got a choice here, Rafe, and actually I have a choice. I want you to be ready to do a rant now.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. That means let's be clear here. That means that you're going to need to make a decision and not be nice to somebody.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for this one now?
I am.
Okay. I will allow you to do repetition here. I'm not Nicholas Parsons. Okay. Thankfully, that means you're not Pam Ayers as well. So it's win all round. Google are being evil by blocking the Exchange Active Sync from new connections from Windows phones in January. Go.
No, they're not being evil. They are perfectly entitled to do it. It's a business decision on their part. But is it irritating as a consumer? No, this is a real pain point because once you set up this kind of sync setup, you really don't want to have to change it. And so Google, in that sense, is being evil by taking away a consumer choice. The background to all of this is Google have said they're no longer supporting Exchange Active Sync on free Gmail accounts. For Gmail, for the email bit of it, really doesn't matter because by default Google will use, or rather Google and Microsoft will use IMAP on Windows Phone. If you want it to sync your contacts and calendar as well, it will use Exchange Active Sync, and on new connections that'll stop working. Even if you've got it on a current device, you know, it should keep working, but I wouldn't like to be in that situation simply because, you know, if you have to set it up again, it won't work. At least that's, you know, as far as we know. So a lot of people are looking at one of the options, and you know, there are some third-party solutions, Nueva Sync. There's also switching over to Outlook and Microsoft services. We might talk about this a bit more in the new year, but you know, it's all part of these kind of smartphone wars, and I suspect Google may be looking to save money or encourage people onto their own platform. But I can't help but feel this isn't really a very consumer-friendly move. And you know, they sort of talk about they're not wanting to support it. Well, you know, I get that. And as I say, I think they're perfectly entitled to do it, but isn't half inconvenient to people who are already using it.
And you can review Rafe's rant back in the comments on our website, allaboutwindowsphone.com. It'd be interesting if you could also contrast it with my performance. And now let's go over to Bruno Tognielli on the panel to find out what he thought. Sorry, for a minute there, I thought I was in Strictly Come Smartphone. look, Rafe, I actually think that Google, you're right. They're perfectly within the rights to do this because they probably have to pay a per-user licensing cost to Microsoft, and they're not getting income or an income stream off the Windows Phone handsets as they are off an iOS handset, for example. Yeah. But at the same time, you can't help but think, you know, you are the incumbent. You know, if there's anybody is going to challenge Android, it is Windows Phone. Let's be fair here. It's not going to be BlackBerry. It's not going to be iOS. People who are with Apple now, and that's that. People who treasure their BlackBerries and the BlackBerry Z10, which sounds remarkably like the Stinger, the Z10, which you want to check in history as well. Bad choice of name there, from Research and Motion. You know, that's not going to make an impact. You know, anything that is going to dilute market share in search, in advertising, and in general, controlling the flow of information, which is Google's primary goal, which is to have information flowing through their service, is going to be Microsoft Windows 8 because it applies to Windows 8 as well as Windows Phone 8. And it's predatory. It's very businesslike, it's aggressive, and they're probably to this day regretting somebody said, oh, wouldn't Don't Be Evil a nice thing to say in this press interview? Because this is an evil move. But do you know what? Business is evil. Actually, business is latent evil, because then I can abbreviate it to bile. And that's the sort of thing that riles up me when I see something like this. Bile.
Yes, I would agree with what you said there. I mean, the interesting thing is, I think in the long term, Google could end up regretting this because, you know, Exchange Active Sync, I mean, what they replaced it with is kind of these open source standards that they talk about. It's CalDAV and CardDAV. That's what's kind of used on Android, also to an extent on the iPhone as well, and they're saying it's better. Actually, I don't think it is. I think Exchange Active Sync is a superior protocol. Partly because that provides push, but also some, you can look at some statistics around power consumption, and also kind of the auto discovery, the ease of setup. So I think Google have to be pretty careful there when making those kind of statements. But, you know, I think if anything, you know, it will encourage people to go, well, actually, maybe I'll move away from the Google stuff, because I think there are a lot of people who use Gmail out there and who happen to use the calendar and contacts as well, but aren't, you know, heavy users of that element of it. It's an interesting one, though, because, you know, as I say, people do have the choice of using something else, or so there are a couple of ways around this. But I can't help but feel in the long term, it sort of all plays into this idea of ecosystem, and Google maybe would have been better off just leaving things as they are. It's an interesting one. Would love to hear some feedback from people on it.
There we go. Right. So we've got some listener questions, and then we'll go for we should do something special for the 50th show. But in the meantime, Rafe, would you like me to sing one of the UK's greatest Christmas number ones?
If you have to.
I don't have to. It's not necessarily Christmas tomorrow. Should we take one of the top 10 songs?
Okay, go on then.
Okay, here we go. It's John Cage's 4 minutes 33.
This is the one that's just silent for 4 minutes and 33 seconds, isn't it?
Well, you said we wanted people to listen to the 51st show, so I thought this would be a good one. Sorry, interrupting myself. I'll need to start again. Oh, that's enough of that. Should we do the listener questions?
Yes, we shall.
Yes, right then. Okay, we've already done one of them, which is Camilla wants. The eternal "what phone should I buy" chaps question. So, what phone? And look, we actually get this a lot, Rafe. And we, you know, what phone should I buy? Because the implication is because we've played with them all and tested them all, we can simply say, "Oh, it's this phone." And do you know what? I always struggle to give an answer on this one, even to relatives.
I agree completely with you. The point here really is everyone has a different set of requirements, and therefore we would recommend them a different phone. So if you ask this question, make sure you explain, you know, what you want to use the phone for, what sort of factors are important to you. And that can be something as simple as the size of the device. It can also be how much you're willing to pay, and all these kind of other factors that are largely hardware and design centric. I mean, make the assumption that you want a Windows phone device. So I think then the choice becomes which Windows phone device you want to buy. And actually, I think you can go, which manufacturer do you want? Well, I would say 8S if you're looking for a cheap Windows phone. That's the one to get, at least until the 620, the Lumia 620, that is, from Nokia, comes out. So it'll be January, February next year, in which case we'll kind of have to reassess that answer. And then it's sort of the 8X, the 820, 920, which I'd all classify as sort of high-end handsets, 920 obviously sitting at the top. And I would probably put the 8X in between the 920 and the 820. I would say, you know, if you can live with the size, the 920 is the one to get. It's got the best screen, it's got the best camera, it's got a decent amount of memory, it's got a good battery size, and I really like the design of it. And so my recommendation would be go out and buy the 920. But I would always add the caveat, you need to look at the size, because I actually think that's the vital thing really when you're buying a phone. You know, how big a phone can you live with? Because some people like, you know, the Note 2s or those things that almost fit in between the phone and tablet space. Personally, I couldn't use one of those because it's just not enough of a portable or mobile device for me. The 920 is right at the top end in terms of screen size, and I will admit over the years I've gradually increased the size of the device I find acceptable. I suspect you're going to say about the 920 that you want something with a bit more flexibility, and also maybe it's a bit big for you. So, I mean, the 820, I know, has sort of been a siren call for you, hasn't it?
Well, you got the right words there, Rafe, about the 920, my thoughts on it, but not necessarily in the right order.
Ah, okay.
Which is this. I'd like to see the Lumia 920.
Right.
Full stop. You've got one.
Yes, and you've just seen a trial one very briefly.
David's got one. Steve's got one. And I've had I've had more time with the 8S than I have with the Lumia 920. So at the moment, I'm going to draw a creative void over the 920. And you see, Nokia, look, I'm doing your work for you now. You know, I'm having to mention the 920 without actually having seen it. Quite frankly, I don't even believe it exists in the stores or in the public's hands. Rafe says he's got one, and he's written 5,000 words in it. You know, and you know, Tolstoy said there was war and there was peace, and wrote less words than Rafe has written about his phones. So there you go. See, the thing for me about the 920 is, yes, there is a focus on the camera. And with the best will in the world, my smartphone focus has never been on the camera. I'm starting to get average shots from a little Canon point-and-shoot camera, which has lots of helpful stuff on it. But I'm great in the 920s, all the fancy stuff about the camera and the imaging and everything, but that doesn't do anything for me, frankly. I do have an 820. It's not purple. and Nokia PR still haven't picked up the hint yet. It's the white shell on it. And I am enjoying the 820. And interestingly, I'm enjoying it more than I enjoyed the Lumia 900, which is roughly the same size, screen size and resolution and everything. I know it's got micro SD card supporting it. I've got a nice big 32 gig card in there. It's chock full of Eurovision music. And it just it works relatively well, although for some reason you can't play the DRM music off the micro SD card. So all the stuff that's coming down from the Xbox Music Store has to go on the internal drive. That needs addressed soon. I have seen the 8X, personally, but I can see why some people would like it in the same way that I can see that some people would like Ally McBeal or Downton Abbey. It's just not for me, and I have no earthly understanding of why anybody else would like it. There we go. The 8S, again, not had a lot of time with the 8S. Had more time with... I have had more time with the 8S than the 8S as well, which does at least rhyme. But at the moment, I will say the same thing to the questioner that I say with everything else. Get a blank piece of paper and write down what you want your phone to do. Don't write down, I want it to be Android or I want it to be iOS. Have that list, rank that list, and that's the list you go into a shop with. You go, I want it to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're allowed to have, I'd like it to match my dress as one of those things, but it has to be on the list.
Yes. And, you know, that's why you've got the different colours and the shells and all of that. We've got one more listener question, but before we do get to that, we've been talking about kind of Nokia HTC. I think it's fair to say that the effort that Nokia's put in on the software side with maps, with the lenses on the camera, so Cinemagraph, the Smart Shoot, with music and, you know, quite a few others. If you look in the kind of the Nokia collection in the Windows Phone Store, there's a whole bunch of apps, including some third-party ones. And honestly, given that I think they're quite close in terms of hardware and capability, I think the 920 takes the advantage in a lot of areas. As we said earlier, the 8X maybe has a design advantage, but they're close enough that the software is a big enough differentiator. That's the reason you buy a Nokia rather than an HTC device. And I'm kind of surprised to hear myself say that, because I didn't think it would get to that point, but HTC have not really made much of an effort to update their existing, you know, software for Windows Phone 8, and Nokia has, and they've continued to add features. You know, there's a fairly steady stream of improvements to things like Nokia Maps and Nokia Drive, and as a result, you know, I would almost always recommend that someone buys a Nokia device over an HTC, because it, you know, the HTC has some things in its favour on the hardware side, but then so does the Lumia. Whereas on the software, there's a very clear and distinct winner.
So and let's be fair, Nokia have got to employ all those people, otherwise the Finnish unemployment rate would just reach catastrophic levels. So they have to do something.
Yes, there's not many people.
Especially Santa's from Turkey.
Yes, well, anyway, there's not so many people working for Nokia back in Finland. There's been a lot of job loss in the last year. I guess that's a time of year to reflect on that. But maybe we'll do that in a New Year podcast.
Oh, what a way to put it down on the situation.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I just said, look, Nokia's keeping all these people in work doing maps and updates. And you went, yeah, but they've fired a lot of people as well, haven't they? Well, it's like a really bad Christmas episode of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Or possibly Ren and Stimpy. I prefer Ren and Stimpy.
I certainly didn't mean to sort of put an entire down on the whole thing, but I think also you have to be realistic. Nokia's had a pretty tough year. And there's sort of reason to be optimistic about Windows Phone 8 looking into 2013.
Yeah.
But don't forget what's happened either along the way.
Indeed. I mean, companies have risen, companies have fallen, and you know, there will always be individual stories of hardship in this stuff. But if you look back, we've already mentioned Sendo jokingly in this podcast. He's some cracking chaps and chapesses working for Sendo. They went the way Sony Ericsson has went down. Palm themselves, we went through a number of stuff with Palm Computing and Handspring and all of that stuff. You know, there will always be casualties in technology, because the point of technology is to try and make things cheaper with less people to make more of a profit margin, or to keep the same profit margin and drive the prices down. You know, the best thing you could have is a great big box with one person pressing a button and out the other end comes a phone. which, you know, would be great for the person who owns the box, but for everybody else who used to do what was inside that box, you know, thus is the way of British Leyland. It just doesn't happen. So there will always be progress, and progress will always have damage.
Yeah. So let's as the last bit of the podcast, we're drawing to a close here. It is our 50th show on this podcast, so way for us for getting to number 50. But let's just, rather than just doing a software or an app pick of the week. Let's try and pick out some of our favourite ones from the last 50 or indeed over the last year, Ewan.
Yes, indeed. Are we just going to stay as a double header on this one?
Well, actually, and we've got a special guest who's joined us for the last bit of this podcast.
Santa's here! That's not Santa, that's Steve.
And Ewan, having taken the name Stephen Vane throughout this podcast, you better hope he wasn't listening into that bit.
Steve, are you ready for the... Actually, Rafe, you're going to like this bit. Steve, if I read down all the stuff we've talked about, could you give me like a three-word response to each of them so we can sum up the podcast in 5 seconds?
No, I'm going to listen to the podcast back later and sit there chortling.
Oh, okay. It would have been like Space 1999 then.
Can't match that.
And Steve's not Santa either. Okay, let's start with the fun stuff then. Let's look back over a year and a bit or so of Windows Phone, a year a bit of Insight podcasts. Guys, very simple. We're going to finish with your enduring memory of Windows Phone, software picks from all of history of Windows Phone. But we'll start with hardware. What's the device? What's the hardware that's made you go, yeah, Windows Phone works? Steve, you may start, given that you've probably got the most rested voice.
I clear my throat because I'm about to shock you all. I'm going to pick as my favorite Windows phone. This will be completely out of the blue. The Nokia Lumia 710, the most humble of the initial launch devices from Nokia. And this is for 5 reasons. And I know you and you like your lists. Number one, it's got a really grippy back. You cannot drop the thing. Number two, it's completely and utterly disposable and cheap to replace. You can hand it to your nephews and nieces and grandchildren if you're old enough, and small kids, and they can play with it and they can muck it up. And if they break it, it really doesn't matter because you can replace it for just over £100. It's got no capacitive buttons at the bottom, which means that you can hand it round and you can handle it yourself. You don't keep pressing blinking control icons by mistake. They're physical buttons. You actually have to press them, and you know you've pressed them. Reason number four, it's got all the usual Nokia software and the drive and maps and stuff. You get all the higher-end phones, all on this fairly diminutive, fairly cheap-to-replace device. And number five, Ewan, you'll like this one, it's compatible with the BP4L battery, the hero battery of Nokia's smartphone lineup of the last 5 years. 1,500 milliamperes, lithium polymer, and I've got 5 of the things sitting here. So if you add that up, I think I can head out into the world with the Nokia Lumia 710 with 10,000 milliamp hours in my pocket. Now, try and beat that. So the Lumia 710.
Does that include a ProPort battery charger?
No, that's just the BP4Ls plus the built-in one that comes with the 710.
Of course, cool, I can get you to 14,000 then.
but this I rant quite often about sealed batteries versus replaceable batteries. And when you can just say, oh, yes, I've got another 5,000 milliamp hours in my pocket, that'll last the next 3 days, that rather puts the mockers on somebody that's sitting there with a phone with a sealed battery, and when it's out, unless they've got a ProPorter battery or similar to hand, they're out of luck.
There we go. ProPorter will have the check in the post, Steve. Rafe, hardware.
It's always difficult doing this because the temptation is to go for the most recent one, and I'd say in terms of the best Windows phone, I'd pick out the Lumia 920 because I think it's the kind of the best expression of Windows phone and the best hardware. And I particularly like all the updates that you're getting in Windows Phone 8, you know, the new start screen, the lock screen integration. But if I have to pick out one that, you know, really caught my attention, I'd actually go for the Lumia 800 as the kind of the expression that Nokia was able to produce a device in such a short time period, you know, 8 months. Initially, it was reused from the N9, but that design really stood out for me as something a bit different. And it was kind of that first idea that actually Nokia switching to Windows Phone was the way that was going to work for the company. Before then, it was all very theoretical, and this is how it's going to work. You know, getting that handset in my hand, you know, did make an enormous difference. So for that reason, I'm going to pick out the Lumia 800.
I'm not going to pick out the 800, nor am I going to pick out the 710. And in fact, I'm not even going to pick out a Nokia.
Woohoo!
I'm going to pick the HTC Trophy. And for a couple of reasons. And I've not written them down, so I don't know how many are there for the list. But essentially, first of all, it was my second Windows phone. Okay, I'd had a hold of some of the Samsung dev prototypes at some Microsoft events in London, so had already played around with the sort of boilerplate devices. But it was the HTC Trophy that I got my hands on, first of all. This would be May 2011. First thing it did was to come on a trip to New York with me, and basically that was the phone for 4 days. Your American SIM was in there, nothing else was going to be used while I was out and about. And you know, I know I've talked about fitness isn't really a factor, but the HTC 7 still feels really nice in the hand. It's got the weight of the device is in a sweet spot. The styling is subtle, but it's quite thin as well. Yes, you can get into the battery, so you can move in and switch it out if you want to buy. Steve, just as you did. The camera was completely and utterly rubbish, so I actually had an excuse for once when I took some really bad pictures. I go, what do you expect? It's an HTC. And popular claim, well, of course it is, so it's probably quite a nice picture if it'd been taken with a good camera. The screen itself, it was nice, it was bright, it got going. It's still available pay-as-you-go at a relatively good price. You can pick these up on eBay now for about £30 or £40 locked to a network provider in the UK. And, you know, it's the phone that I used first that got me going. And yes, the 800 came out. It was nice and stylish and everything. But there's still that hanging for the trophy. The trophy went to Vicky, my wife, who got her into Windows Phone. It's now with my mother-in-law. And she just found it really simple to use and was able to actually get involved and do online stuff. We'd handed her the X6 before. And much the same, it is a wonderful device and really good. She just never got a handle on the X6 or on Symbian as well. So the trophy for her was something that she could actually use. And for me, it was the phone that showed that Windows Phone knew what it was doing. It was a reliable phone. It's never crashed. It was pretty robust. I wasn't worried about, against, as Steve said with the 710, worried about losing it, breaking, because it was relatively cheap to replace even when it first came out. Yeah, it was the first love. We always remember our first loves. It's only that in the tech world we get to go back to them and not feel dirty or have nasty looks from a Lumia 820 going, what's she going back to that for? It's a 7. Why? I'm bigger. I'm better. What do you want her for? Because it worked. We got to do more of the podcast now. That was quite a nice ending there, right?
It was. Yeah. But are we going to do app picks as well and try and pick out some of our favourite apps from the last year as well?
Yes, I think we should. Can I start on that one as well?
Yeah, go on.
In terms of games, let me start. I'll take one game and one application. In terms of games, I think it has to be Wordaman. On Xbox Live. It started off as an indie title. It came up through the ranks of Xbox Live. It made the jump, and yes, there were some issues with having your server profile and everything move over. But it's a nice game that lets you just dip in and dip out. I'm not the greatest of Scrabble players, so all these Words with Friends word feuds are nice, but not brilliant at them. Wordament, word search, 2 minutes, bit of arcade, bit of speed in there. I just really love the whole concept of that game. It's specific to Windows Phone as well, and I just really, really enjoyed that as a game.
Okay, well, talking about games for me, yes, it's Wordament as well. I mean, it's one of the games that's consistently stayed on my phone and that I play every now and then. To actually pick out something different to you, and there's also... Alpha Jax, which has just come onto Xbox but did exist in pre-Xbox One, and that was one I played for quite a long time as well. So that's another one. It's interesting that they're both word games. Of the more recent ones, when the new versions of Angry Birds came out, I did enjoy playing those as well. And then there's one called World Domination, which is kind of a multiplayer risk type game where it's turn by turn based games, you know, again one of these social games. That one I very much enjoy playing. I'm less of a kind of person who stays on one game all the time, with a couple of exceptions I've noticed there. But talking about apps, well, of course, there's the All About Windows Phone app, and that's been a consistent on my device. But I think choosing that one's a bit of a cheat. So there's a couple of others I want to mention, one of which is the BBC Radio app that uses kind of the BBC Radio internet streams to enable you to listen to the device. Become particularly important on Windows Phone 8 since it doesn't have a built-in FM radio. So I enjoy that. You know, it's when I'm traveling, I don't use it every day, but when I do, I'm always very glad that it's there. And sometimes when I'm not near a DAB radio, it can be handy as well. But also Weatherflow. Recently, I've had the Met Office application, my weather application. I'm actually using two at the moment. I'm still using Weatherflow. And it's just the example of the design is really good there. It was done nice and simply. It wasn't sort of loads of detail. And the most recent update to it with Windows Phone is integrated into the lock screen. It's one of the best lock screen integrations I've seen, because it gives you a choice of what information to display, but it also keeps on using, optionally, the Bing picture of the day. And I kind of like having a different picture on the day. I don't need one showing what the weather conditions are. It's kind of fun for a while, and the HTC Hub app on the HTC devices does a good example of that. But actually, I like having the big picture as well as some information, and that's why I'll pick out Weatherflow. But even before that, it was, you know, a glanceable information for the weather forecast. There are quite a few other apps that I use on a regular basis, but I think those are probably the ones I would pick out as my picks from the last year. They're quite general. Some of the others are maybe a little more specialist. There's some UK specific news ones. I've bounced around between various Twitter apps, haven't really settled on one of them. London Travel I find invaluable when I'm going into London, and there's some generic travel guide apps that again become invaluable. But those do vary from person to nation. The ones I've mentioned, I think, are something that potentially anybody could enjoy wherever they are in the world.
Do I get a go?
Yes, Steve. Let's hear from you.
Okay. Well, Ewan said you wanted a pick or two. You did about five, but I'll restrict myself to three, if I may. First of all, a game which has saved me hundreds of pounds. Have a listen to this. And that was an F-15 Eagle taking off on a radio-controlled strip. This is RC Air Sim, and Ewan would be very jealous here.
I know. It sounded like euphoria there from the winning song from this year's Eurovision Song Contest.
How did you get a Eurovision link in from that? Anyway, saving hundreds of pounds, I am a radio-controlled airplane enthusiast, and I keep crashing my real planes, and it costs a blinking fortune to repair them and replace them and so forth. So to have a virtual set of radio-controlled planes in my Windows phone day and night, and I can fly them around, crash them as often as I want, and it doesn't cost me a single penny. I think it's absolutely wonderful, and I can do it rain or shine, whether it's windy or how, or completely calm, or whether it's snowing outside. I can just fly my plane. So RC Air Sim. It's not so much a game, more a simulation, more a bit of a light-hearted fun, really, but I love it. Podcatcher as my application. I've been using this off and on now for 18 months on Windows Phone, and it's a standalone, as it sounds, podcast gathering application. It's gradually been updated and updated and updated again, working better and better with Windows Phone, working with the operating system, so that it refreshes feeds properly. You can set podcast downloading, switch away from it, and it will carry on downloading in the background until the podcasts are complete. So for me now, as long as the speaker on the phone itself is loud enough, which it is on things like the Lumia 920, then I really am all set with that device for gathering all my podcasts and just taking it away with me and listening around the house while I do chores. And finally, just to mention a quick plug for Twabit, which I reviewed a couple of days ago, so very topical. I've been trying all the Twitter clients and Windows Phone over the last year or so, and this is my favorite by a long way. It's incredibly customizable. It's very, very slick. It works brilliantly with Windows Phone 8, and I can't recommend it highly enough. About £1 or so in the Windows Phone store. So yeah, RCSim, Podcatcher, and Twabit from me.
In terms of applications, because I didn't actually mention my application, Rafe, would it be a cheat to say People Hub or Internet Explorer?
A little bit, but I know exactly what you mean, because I was tempted to say Internet Explorer as well, because it's probably the app I use more than anything else.
I think the one that's really got me is Baconit, because it's taken a very, very complicated thing, which is Reddit, and then shown that you can put all of that into it's the Windows Design Language User Interface Schematic. Much easier when we could just call it Metro UI. and it brought everything in. Quindemils continue to update that. It's an incredibly functional application, available both as ad-supported and as a paid-for premium version. And I'm just loving the fact that it shows that developers, even solo developers, can still do really good applications and stuff. So an honorable mention also to Forth and Mayer. I've kind of burnt out on Foursquare now, but in the first 6 months of the year, when I was really heavily into Foursquare, Forth and Mayer, again, an indie application, used the user interface wonderfully, great with the live tiles, showed what you could really do with a Windows phone. You could do web services, and you could still do them inside the look and feel of Windows phone. Both of those show a huge amount of promise and show that Windows Phone, in terms of tools available for developers, even if you're allergic to the operating system, is still something that you can do wonders in. And I think that's a very important message that Microsoft need to focus on.
I love the way that Rafe sneezed and you managed to get the slinky link into someone being allergic to the operating system. That's really nice, Ewan.
And I love the fact that now you've mentioned it, Rafe can't edit it out either.
No, he can't. Well, so I'll have to say apologies for for that sneeze, but it's now part of the podcast and part of history. I think we're starting to run very long on this podcast, so it's time to say goodbye. But thank you very much for listening to the 50th podcast, and hopefully some of you have listened to the preceding 49 and will listen to the ones to come after. But it is that time of year where we can also say Happy Christmas and Happy New Year to you. I suspect we will try and fit a podcast in sometime after Christmas, but it may well be the New Year. So it's also a Happy New Year from me.
And Happy Hanukkah, Happy Hogmanay, Happy Newtonmas, great festive day, enjoy Doctor Who Day, whichever invisible sky god is yours, Happy Invisible Sky God Day. How about that?
And if you've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast as well, you'll have already heard me say Happy Christmas and Happy New Year, but I shall just say it again here, and Happy Christmas. And I'm now looking forward to finding out just why Ewan Spence has been taking my name in vain by going and downloading the podcast myself.
Cool, we've got a listener, right? We've got a listener for 2012. Hey. Mission success. Now we get two for 2013 and we'll be all set.
I like to think we have a few more than that. And please feel free to send in your comments as usual. You can use Rafe at All About Windows Phone. Leave a comment on the site about this or get hold of us on Twitter or Facebook. But thank you very much for listening and goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.